Hello and welcome to another dual edition of the Cyclone Insider Hour and the Cyclone Slant podcast brought to you by Ames Ford Lincoln. I am Travis Hines. He is Randy Peterson. We are coming to you on Thursday afternoon as Iowa State has its new men's basketball coach. And surprise, it's TJ Otzelberger, UNLV head coach and presumed and maybe only candidate since this really got started on Monday when Steve Prohm was fired. And even before that, as we've detailed over and over again the last few days, long presumed to be the likeliest candidate to replace Steve Prohm. Lots of stuff over on Des Moines Register and AmesTrib.com. But Randy, what are your initial impressions now that this is official for Iowa State with TJ Otzelberger at the helm of the Cyclone program?
It would have been more of a surprise if he was not, but like you said, it's something that everybody knew was coming, not just locally, but nationally. It's kind of a, I don't want to say out of the box, but it's a little bit of a gamble for Jamie Pollard. He gambled with Fred and won. Fred never coached a game. And I don't think gambling, I don't know. I guess I don't know how to put this, but he's also gambling with Otzelberger because he's not coached a game at this level. He's not coached a team consistently against this kind of competition you're seeing in the Big 12, or let's just call it the Power Five conference level. We know TJ as a recruiter. When people think of TJ Otzelberger, they think of recruiting. And I guess that's good because players, you can't win without players. He's got to hire a staff that can not only recruit players, but can help out in the X's and O's. I mean, you and I have talked about this a gazillion times. The Big 12 is loaded with Hall of Fame coaches or future Hall of Fame coaches. So, But getting back to TJ, yeah, there's something to be said. You know, he may not have coached at this level, which is one thing, but there's something to be said for fit. And that seems to be what Iowa State, and rightly so, is about now. With Matt Campbell, they looked for fit, and boom, they got it, and as well as a winner. With TJ, they're getting fit, and Jamie is gambling on that. That eventually down the road, even Jamie said it could take several years, that eventually that fit will turn into victories. So I guess that's my initial thought. I've got more questions than answers though, actually.
Yeah, me too. On a lot of different fronts, and we're not talking to TJ Otzelberger and Jamie Pollard until tomorrow, Friday morning. Hopefully, hear more about a lot of different things. But I think when it comes to the hire, Randy, and just to go a little further than what you said, it was really interesting to talk to people about the Iowa State job, certainly in the last three or four days and even longer than that, where really the conversation broke a couple different ways, where almost universally it was, it's TJ's job. And the only ever pushback and it was all because of his relationship with Jamie Pollard, his history at Iowa State. And certainly he had some success. I don't want to downplay it. He went to two NCAA tournaments, won three conference titles at South Dakota State. But the little pushback or maybe the wavering you would get usually came from people that had been in the industry a little bit longer, perhaps, who would say, don't you have to win more to get a job like Iowa State? And I think it's a fair question. You know, you walk into South Dakota State, you get the South Dakota State job, which that job had turned into one of the best in that league. You have the best player maybe that league has ever seen in Mike Dom, and you do what you're supposed to do there. You win. Then you go to UNLV. That's a little harder gig, but still one of the better jobs in the Mountain West, I think. And you're under 500. And there are reasons for that. We heard Jamie Pollard go into quite a bit of detail, actually kind of a surprising amount of detail about why TJ Otzelberger didn't win at UNLV usually don't hear that from an athletic director announcing a hire, why the guy didn't win at his previous spot. So that's notable. And you know what, if the reasons are the reasons, but a lot of people wonder, not a lot of people, the people that do wonder about the hire point to, don't you have to have a little bit more success at a multiple stops before you get a power high major job like TJ Otzelberger? And that I think is where you wrote today. And as you talked about just now, like that's where the risk is involved for this hire, is that it is a relationship hire. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. Relationship hires work sometimes. The track record is a little bit more questionable once he got out of that first job. And that'll be, you know, TJ's job to answer for and Jamie Pollard's job to answer for, ultimately with results.
Let's also not forget that I don't think we can bury the significance of the fact that TJ is going to have, and I say TJ because that's easier to say than Otzelberger, that TJ is going to have 100% backing from the star players he recruited. And I think that's significant. I do. I think you'll see George. I talked to George, and George, I asked George to outline the perfect coach for Iowa State without mentioning any names. George didn't mention any names until the very end. He outlined Steve Prohm. I guarantee you Naz will say great things about Steve Prohm. Monte, you know, those guys, Matt Thomas. Excuse me. And I don't think we can undersell that. The best players in Iowa State history were recruited by TJ Otzelberger. And he's continued a relationship with those guys that can come back and pay benefits. So I don't think we can undersell that.
Yeah. And but, I think, you know, when we were talking about the lack of success at UNLV, that's heightened because this has long been assumed to be the hire for Jamie Pollard in Iowa State. And when you have a process that, according to Jamie Pollard, lasted all of 48 hours, according to the Las Vegas Review Journal, lasted less than 24. And again, by coaching and industry insiders, people in the business, has long been assumed to be the ultimate outcome. I think the process heightens the questions there, because what kind of search was conducted to ultimately lead you to the path that what you assumed would be the best hire proves to be the best hire? And I think that'll be a big part of the press conference tomorrow for Jamie Pollard and TJ Otzelberger, to explain, you know, how they came to this conclusion of why TJ Otzelberger is the guy for this job. And again, he's got a lot of checks on his resume, having won at Iowa State, having recruited at Iowa State, having won at South Dakota State. And everybody wants to talk about Dom, you know, basically handing them three conference titles and two NCAA tournaments. But people also have to recognize and give credit for the fact that TJ Otzelberger retained Mike Dom, not only when he took the job, when another guy had recruited him there, but as a fifth-year senior, because Dom redshirted his freshman year and could have graduate transferred to anywhere in the country. And when I say anywhere, I mean literally he could have gone to any single conference, any single program just about in the country. If a top five or a top 10 team in the country would have opened both arms and gave Mike Dom a big hug to come into their program. But instead, you know, over the previous 2 years, TJ Otzelberger had created an environment and created a system that kept his most important player happy and productive and most important in the program. So you got to give credit to him and his staff for that, in my opinion. And they recruited at a really high level. I mean, don't forget, a guy Iowa State ultimately signed, and Caleb Grill, signed with South Dakota State. He was going to go to South Dakota State. And I know it didn't work out perfectly for Caleb Grill at Iowa State, but I do think he was probably going to be a Big 12 caliber player at some point in his career. And TJ Otzelberger had recruited him to Brookings, South Dakota, gets him on UNLV. We'll see what happens. You know, if this has got to be a whirlwind for anybody, I would think it'd be Caleb Grill at this point. So we'll see. I do think there's a lot of pros in TJ Otzelberger's column. It'll be interesting to see how, because Pollard talked about there was two tracks of their search. There was a TJ Otzelberger track and there was another track. Be interesting to hear what that other track, what that produced. Don't you think, Randy?
Oh, without question, because I would hope that other candidates were interviewed, but you really wonder because of the how fast this went. And yeah, it did go fast. I know fans thought it didn't, but it did. And I found this whole thing curious that, okay, the 8:30 on 8:15, 8 o'clock, 8:30, whatever, on Monday night, Steve Frome got fired. Wednesday night, on the video today, Jamie Pollard said that he offered Otzelberger the job. And then at some point this morning, or Thursday morning now, Otzelberger, Jamie said that TJ and his wife, Allison Lacey, called to happily accept. So, yeah, TJ was the guy has been the guy for a long time.
Yeah. I don't know that it does any good to pretend otherwise. Like, I mean, we'll be interested to hear the other details, but at the end of the day, it was a 48-hour search that landed on the guy everybody thought it was going to land on. That's just a fact. You know, whether there was other calls or text messages or temperatures check, let's hear about that. But the bottom line fact, 48 hours into the search produced the guy everyone assumed the search would produce. That's just factual.
You and I traveled a lot together this fall during football. We were together on the road at times during basketball. During our downtime, we'd have socially distanced conversations, and we invariably would come up with the name TJ Otzelberger. And you were the one that said it. If in fact it comes to this, we're going to talk ad nauseum or discuss ad nauseum all the other candidates in the world. And that circle would eventually lead back to TJ. And that's exactly what's happened. I'm not saying it's wrong to talk about other candidates. I think in that respect, you and I have vetted every possible candidate in the world just with our conversations. But it, as you said, it got back to what we thought it would be and what everybody else thought it would be. But I'm going to ask you, when should we start seeing a reward? When should we start seeing, and by reward, I mean winning record, contending, at least being in the conversation for the NCAA tournament?
Well, that brings me to, Randy, I think a different conversation that leads into that one, and I think it'll be critical. And we've talked about this previously, and I think we're both on the same page, that the hires that TJ Otzelberger makes in the coming days and weeks are going to be absolutely critical. I think you have to have a dynamite staff to make this thing work as quickly as I think Iowa State fans want to make it work. And we saw TJ Otzelberger be on a staff like that, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, yeah. 11 years ago. God, we're getting old again, Randy. The second podcast in a row I've had to mention that. When Fred Hoiberg took over and they flipped everything by year two, you know, where you had guys that could get players, you had X's and O's acumen. So I think TJ Otzelberger will be very, very sensitive and cognizant of the fact, you know, that they got to hit the ground running here. And that means hires. We haven't heard anything official yet, but I think there's a couple of obvious things to just bring up, you know, from the basketball operations standpoint. Micah Byers has been at Iowa State, I think, for 10 years now, largely on the initial recommendation of TJ Otzelberger when they were at junior college together. That would be a natural person to stay on from this staff. You know, I think that's probably pretty likely. Danielle Robinson has been on Steve Prohm's staff since day one. He was on Greg McDermott's staff along with TJ Otzelberger once upon a time. I would think that would be a possibility. Everybody else on that staff for Steve Prohm are kind of Steve Prohm guys, I would think, you know, in terms of James Kane and William Small and David Hobbs, that, you know, retaining them would seem unlikely. We'll find out, I guess, but that it's not necessarily a natural fit when you see how these things normally unfold. Then you look over on the other side in Las Vegas, TJ Otzelberger has three full-time assistants. Tim Buckley, right? That's the name, Tim. Randy, you covered him.
Yes. Yes.
Is the one that would maybe make some sense. Just again, this is not with inside information. This is just connecting public dots. A Minnesota guy, I believe, that coached at Iowa for a spell. So there's some yeah. Midwest ties there. The other two guys, one is Lon Kruger's kid. So like, obviously that's a UNLV hire because Lon Kruger had a ton of success at UNLV. The other, Slocum, is a Las Vegas guy, was local Las Vegas guy with local Las Vegas ties. So again, maybe not a natural fit there. We'll ultimately see, but I would think Buckley would make the most sense if Osselberger is looking to bring anybody over. The other obvious ones to mention as possibilities, Pete Link, the strength and conditioning coach at UNLV, was the strength and conditioning coach for Steve Prohm at Iowa State for what, 4 years, I think? Four of his first 5 years with TJ Osselberger there for the first year, I think. Obviously, TJ thought enough of him to bring him over to UNLV, so that's a possibility. And then Otzelberger's director of player development, I think, is the official title, is Nate Schmidt, who was a GA at Iowa State, was on Nate Oates's Detroit Romulus staff. And obviously Oates and TJ Otzelberger are very close as Wisconsin guys, UW Whitewater guys. So I think that would be a natural possibility to bring him over in an ops or development role. Beyond that, I think, you know, we'll hopefully hear some names kind of make their way to our ears over the next few days. But Randy, I think those are the ones that would make sense from a continuity standpoint. No inside information there, but just, you know, connecting some public dots.
How do you hire somebody then, given that? How do you hire somebody like a David Hobbs type, a Doc Sadler type, a Bobby Lutz type? How do you fit that in? Because you can only have three assistants.
Okay. Well, then. So, assuming let's assume
full-time assistant.
Let's assume, which again, it gets tricky when you assume, but we're going to do it here. Let's assume Micah Byers is there as the Dobo. Let's assume Nate Schmidt is there as that second operations person, you know, from a player development standpoint. Those are your two non-full-time hires that you can get. I don't know if I want to go as far as to assume Danielle Robinson will be a holdover, because I don't know that. That's, to me, a little trickier. I think their relationship is really strong, Robinson's and Otzelberger's. I think D-Rob's track record at Iowa State, where he got players in there, is pretty well known as being successful. I mean, you look at the names that he brought in, certainly that 2018 class, he had a huge, huge part in. Getting Xavier Foster to Iowa State, he had a huge part in. So the results are there, but it is a little tricky when you just fired the coach to retain one of his three assistants. I think that is not necessarily always a slam dunk. And again, I don't think you can pin the lack of success the last few years on, you know, one of the assistant coaches, but certainly, you know, that's something to navigate, I think, when you're looking at, you know, who you're going to hire. So do you need an X's and O's guy? I'm skeptical of that to a degree, only because, Randy, I think it's players, players, players. You need to get guys in those positions that are going to bring players to Iowa State. And if you hire somebody just to do X's and O's and you're giving up maybe a little on recruiting, I wonder if that's the right move. Certainly you can have guys that are able to do both. That's obviously ideal. And we got to hear what the salary pool is going to be for these assistants.
Yeah.
But that'll be – I don't know if you can use one of your three spots on a guy that you're not expecting to do a lot of heavy lifting for recruiting.
Can we flip for a second to the transfer portal? Yeah, where is this on the priority list for TJ to recruit players off of the roster that he inherits, the guys that he wants? I'm not saying he's going to want everybody. Once TJ meets his players tomorrow, Friday morning, then after he has a session with reporters, I would think that he's got to talk to players individually then and just find out where their heads are. And of the players on the roster that he wants to keep, it's going to be a hard sell. That could be his best recruiting, depending on who stays. Because right now, I guarantee you, it's in every player's mind whether they're going to stay or go, given the status of the transfer portal. So that's going to be really critical for TJ to keep. I'm not even going to throw names out. People know who they are. To keep the players, the star players, to keep players, future stars. Those guys cannot get away. Yeah, keep the recruits.
Go ahead. Yeah. I think Tyrese Hunter, the recruit, as you mentioned, will be a huge piece of this, a component of this, top 40 guy. Jaden Nunn, Tyrese Hunter is from Wisconsin. So obviously TJ Otzelberger from Wisconsin has had a ton of recruiting success there. That makes a lot of sense. Jaden Nunn was an under the radar guy that they had that is originally from Flint and is now prepping in Arizona, I believe. That might be a bit harder sell unless TJ was recruiting him or, you know, programs he's a part of when he was at UNLV. But Randy, the one thing about the transfer portal that'll be interesting too is everybody knows you get the free transfer coming up. But the question is, will guys who've already transferred, will they be excluded from that? Because usually you get the rule, as we understand it, is you get your first transfer free, essentially. You know, will guys like Rajir Bolton or Javen Johnson or Tyler Harris or Blake Hinson be given, you know, will they have that ability to transfer without penalty, or will they have a penalty because they've already transferred, even though the rule changed after their first transfer? That's something to keep in mind, or that I'm sure these guys will keep in mind as they're weighing their options. That's a little, to me at least, unclear. Maybe the NCAA has ruled on this already. I doubt it since that rule hasn't passed yet, but that's something to keep in mind. And certainly, you know, I think the names, you know, Xavier Foster is a guy that you don't want to see get away as a top 100 in-state guy. Some guys I think will be natural, you know, where it'll be easier for them to think about leaving because they came, you know, to play far from home for a coach who's no longer there. You know, that it's just harder to convince those guys that, you know, there might not be a better fit for them elsewhere. We'll see. Again, it's always a little, you don't want to speculate too much on what these guys are going to do because they're, you know, college students enrolled making their decisions. But, you know, I promise you, you know, you and I have both heard from a lot of interested parties around the players about what's going to happen, who's going to be the coach, what's the staff going to be, because these guys want to make decisions. They're trying to weigh what their future options are going to be.
Yeah. And the 4-year guys, watch the transfers coming the other way too.
Yep.
TJ's got to, he's got to find out where the holes are in the roster and fill them with, man, all the Mariel Shayoks he could get. But I don't know. Maybe I asked you this earlier. I don't know. When does he have to start winning? Did I ask you that earlier? 2 years? 3 years?
Yeah. One other note that is that UNLV does have a 4-star commit that'll be interesting to see what that person does, which is Arthur Kaluma, I believe from the Glendale, Arizona area. He's committed. I don't know if he's signed an NLI with UNLV, if they'd have to let him go from that or not, but a guy that was recruited by a lot of top-tier programs that Otzelberger got there. For the third time, I'll answer your question now. My bad on that one.
Jesus.
you got to be getting sick of me after this 4-day coaching search. I think there has to be the promise of significant big-time winning by the end of year 2. I don't know that you got to be in the NCAA tournament in year 2. I don't know that you got to be competing for a league title in year 2, but I think, and that's not to say TJ Otzelberger will get fired after 2 years. I don't think that'll be the case, but I don't think if there's a clear path to winning at a significant level by the end of year 2, the pressure's on. You know, that doesn't mean, again, getting fired after year 2. It doesn't necessarily mean getting fired after year 3. But I think there's going to be an appetite for this thing to move quickly based on the level of success Iowa State has had. And again, there's probably a whole discussion, Randy, or a whole podcast for you and I to have about whether or not that's a fair amount of time, because you could talk me into it not being, but I think that's ultimately going to be the reality.
Well, and this is, I probably shouldn't say this, but Fred got to the NCAA tournament, what, his second year?
That's so, a high bar to clear. But it is a bar.
It is a high bar to clear. It's a bar though. And that's what people, that is a bar to clear, but you don't think that's not in people's minds, and that shouldn't be the be all end all for TJ. Do not get me wrong. but because I think this program is in worse shape now than what Fred took over. I know it is. So yeah, it could be a while. It could be, like you said, knock on the door in year two and then year three be there or be as close to there as you can get. So, but anyway, it'll be good to talk to TJ tomorrow and it'll be good to get some answers from Jamie Pollard. We don't even know how many years this thing's for, his contract is for. I'm not.
Well, and that's,
and
how creative, quote unquote, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. It could be bonus heavy, like they did with Campbell. It could be, I'm not even gonna throw a figure out, but the real money, the money could be in how many games you win. A 10 game bonus, a bonus for, or a 10 victory bonus, a bonus for 15, a bonus for 20. NCAA tournament be a big bonus. I think that's the way of the world with the contracts now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, again, when everyone assumed this was the conclusion Iowa State would reach, when Iowa State says it reached this conclusion in 48 hours, I don't think it's a accident that Jamie Pollard said that they would have to get creative financially to make it work with the next coach, when we know or assume Steve Prohm had something near a $5 million buyout. You know, TJ Otzelberger, we believe, had a $3 million buyout, but there was a CBS report that it could be upwards of four if there were some tax implications. And again, with nothing being on accident, I think we got two or three wealth managers and tax people shout outs in Jamie Pollard's address today, which is the first time I can remember a coach's introductory.
And let's not forget that's Jamie's deal too.
Well, have you ever heard about wealth managers or tax people being being given shout outs when a coach is hired? So
not again,
these things are usually not on accident. So we'll be interested to hear how all this plays out. And those are questions for Friday, right? Say Thursday. I've lost all track of time and space.
I believe it's Friday.
So, yeah. So again, this is a hire. I think, again, you can talk yourself into being skeptical of it, or you can talk yourself into it working. Ultimately, it's going to be judged on wins and losses. And in my opinion, the path there is going to be incredibly, and again, not to be overly obvious, dependent on players that are obviously talented, players that fit the culture that TJ Otzelberger is going to install or attempt to install at Iowa State, and players you can recruit to Ames, Iowa, that can be successful with the style of play they're going to implement. It's not going to be easy, but I think we've seen the path to that being successful, and we've seen that being the path to successful when TJ Otzelberger was a part of the team executing the plan. So we'll find out, I guess, Randy, but that's kind of how I feel. You know, there are, again, when you're dealing with the financial constraints that Iowa State is in, you know, you're not going to go hire somebody off of, you know, another high major program, most likely. So there was always going to be some level of risk or uncertainty with the coach you hire. And we all know what that data set is, I should say, for TJ Otzelberger. You got anything? You good?
And yeah, I'm good. I mean, just speaking about Jamie Pollard now, he went with, he had TJ in mind from the very beginning, and he didn't waver from that. He went with his first impression, and I guess, don't people tell us to go with our first impressions a lot of the times? So ultimately, if this doesn't work, it's going to fall back on Jamie. I know that, and it should, as well it should. But this has been one of the most, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say boring, less entertaining coaching searches out there that I've ever been involved with.
Definitely the most straightforward.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I'd be curious what we find out tomorrow.
This has been the Cyclone Insider Podcast and the Cyclone Slant Podcast, brought to you by Ames Ford Lincoln. He's Randy Peterson. I'm Travis Hines. Find us at DesMoinesRegister.com and AmesTrib.com for plenty of coverage on the beginning of the TJ Otzelberger era of Iowa State men's basketball. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Be sure and subscribe to the Cyclone Slant Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.